Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from Jude. No chapter there, because there's only one chapter. Well, one time I was leading a Bible study, and I just begun a new Bible study on how we get the Bible. It's a fascinating look at the origins of the Bible. It's one produced by Lutheran Hour Ministries. And so what does it do? Well, it addresses questions like, well, where did the Bible come from? Who wrote it? You know, what was their motivation for writing it? And who decided which books would be included in our Bible? Now, all those interesting points in there, so it's kind of fun to watch that. And like I say, it's a Lutheran Hour Ministry Bible study, and so they start off with a little bit of a video clip, so anywhere from 15 to 20, 25 minutes. You watch that, and then it has a bunch of questions for discussion. So we watched the very first part there, that video introduction. And the first question was this: where do you stand on the Bible? Now, such a simple question, really. A question which you could, quite frankly, overlook. But as I asked that question, we spent the next 45 minutes discussing that. It was amazing. Because when you sit there and think about that question, about how relevant it is today, you know, where do you stand on the Bible? Well, it's relevant because, quite frankly, how you answer that gives me an extraordinary amount of information on what you believe about the Bible. Now, for most folks in our church, I'd say that when you talk about the Bible, it's God's Word. No problems. We just say that from front to back. But yet for other folks, though, in other churches and other denominations, quite frankly, they would answer that question by saying, well, God's Word is in there. Now, what does that mean? When you say God's Word is in there, then you're saying that some of that is God's Word and other sections are not. What happens then is that opens it up to quite a wide variety of interpretation. In fact, there's many churches out there and denominations that are struggling with this very thing. Because some folks are saying that yes, indeed, it is all God's Word and others are not. Because the questions then start to come up with, well, what is a sin and what is not? Now, if you view the Bible as it's God's Word from front to back, well, then you would find out very clearly from God's perspective how he views what a sin is. But if you're saying God's Word is in there, well, then you can kind of pick and choose then, based on your own beliefs, on what society is basing what is a sin and what is not, so the definition of a sin can change. What used to be a sin is no longer a sin. So you see, when you ask that question there, where do you stand on the Bible? It's a very relevant question to ask today. And that question, quite frankly, is addressed in our epistle lesson. The book of Jude, it speaks at length about ungodly false teachings. And what exactly is an ungodly teaching? Well, Jude speaks about those who, quote, changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Well, what exactly are those practices to which he is referring? Well, he equates those things that were done back in the Old Testament there, Sodom and Gomorrah, who gave themselves up to sexual immorality. Now, these practices are accepted by society at the time, and they are the very false teachings that Jude is speaking about. So I ask the question, where do you stand on the Bible? Is it God's Word or not? Now, Jude approaches Scripture there as saying that it is God's Word, all of it, not just part of it. And he wants us to understand that and to believe that. This is why he says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Well, that's part of what we're reading here this morning in our lesson. You see, Jude is exhorting us to believe in God's Word, to believe in the faith that you've been given, to build upon that faith. And what do we do? How do we strengthen our faith? Well, besides receiving Christ's body and blood, well, that's where we learn about that it's Christ's body and blood in the first place. What? In God's Word. And there, as we study God's Word, immerse ourselves in God's Word, study God's Word, okay? Make sure you're in Bible study for yourself. When we come to learn and understand more about our relationship with God. You see, one cannot assume that you have learned everything that you need based on confirmation. For you see, if you do not remain in regular Bible study, you leave yourself open to other ideas that are floating around out there. There will be false teachers who, what? Well, they will introduce clever tales and heresies. And what do? They end up leading a person from the one true faith. And the more people hear these things, the more that they gather around themselves what their itching ears want to hear. They will have people tell them that this kind of sin is no longer a sin. And people will eat this up. It will cause divisions, even cause splits within a family. Where do you stand on the Bible? Is it God's word or not? Now, Jesus warned us that this would happen. And we who take those warnings seriously, well, what do? We prepare ourselves for that eventuality to happen. Life is hard enough that we go through life sinning, right? We're inclined to sin. Sometimes we succumb to temptations. They always come our way. And hurtful actions that harm our relationships with God. It's bad enough that we don't need any extra help there with what? False teachings that might also lead us astray. Which is why, again, we can go back and find comfort in God's Word. As Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit and keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. See, in those words, and we who have studied God's Word know that Jesus' death has real meaning. There, He died on that cross, earning forgiveness of our sins, so that we need not die. And as He rose from the grave alive, well, we wait on God's mercy then. Because as we wait on that mercy, we have hope. Hope that leads to eternal life. Because one day, Jesus will indeed come back, just like He speaks about in our gospel reading for today, and take us to that heavenly kingdom. And that is a promise that is given to each and every one of us who believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. But what about those who believe that God's Word is in there somewhere? Those who pick and choose what they want to believe in, and those who have succumbed to false teachings. What about them? Well, Jude also addresses that this morning. He tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray for those folks. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. First of all, he says, have mercy on those who doubt. Be patient with them. Missionary one time told a congregation, it's like, you know, out there in the mission field, on average it takes about 7 times for a person to hear the gospel before they come to faith. And he said here in the United States, because of how secure we are in our wealth, and he goes, it's even more. So if his average is 7, we're folks out there in other countries, and if it's more, say 9 times here in the United States, well, that's, if that's the average, well, then what does it take for some? Well, it might take 1, and it might take 18 in order to get the average to be right there in the middle at 9. So when you're sharing that faith, be patient with the one who's hearing that, because they may not accept it right away. But the important thing to remember in all of this is that, again, you just share what you know. It's God's job to convert that person, to bring them to faith. So when you rely on that, then it takes the burden off of you. You don't need to be stressed about if they convert or not. That's God's job yet again. But still, what are we doing? We are expressing the love that God gives to us in our own actions as we love that person and be patient with them. But as we're doing that, and that person comes to faith, what's the consequences? Well, we're snatching them out of the fires of hell. That's what's happening. So often we get that image there where he talks about in Scripture how the gates of hell will not prevail against God's kingdom. What that means is that the gates of heaven are open, and hell's trying to push them closed. And so what are we doing as Christians? we're walking outside there, going out there, sharing the gospel with folks. They're coming to faith, and we're bringing them back into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we do. But at the same time, though, Jude gives us a warning there. He's like, you know, be careful about that, though. Do that with fear. You're like, fear? Why? Well, as you're sharing with folks who do not believe, you might succumb to their temptations that might lead you astray from the gospel and from God's kingdom. So be careful when you do that. But lest we dwell too much on that fear, Jude leaves us, though, with one very encouraging word. He says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Who would have thought that a simple question, where do you stand on the Bible, would be so relevant today? So my prayer for you today is that as you read God's Word, know that that which you read in your Bible from front to back, all the way through and through, is indeed God's Word. For in that, you can have confidence, knowing that you do indeed have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and rose for you, so that you might be forgiven and have access to heaven forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.